I am officially calling the ANC 1D meeting to order 7/19/2011 at 7:17 p.m. I'd like to ask you, if you have your cell phones, to please silence them at this time. Not allowed to take any pictures unless the commission has given you consent. As customary, we'll start with our public discussion, and we can start to my left here, and the mic can go across. Please state your name for the recording. Thank you.
Steve, do you have anything to say? Yes, ma'am. Sorry. This is the way we do things. We pass around a microphone so that you can speak, and it's recorded. That's our official transcript of the meeting. So, you're on the recording.
Good evening. My name is Patricia Walker. I'm here from the District of Columbia Public Service Commission. I came to pass out a flyer regarding smart meters, which are being installed for all BC government residents. So I just wanted to leave that with people who are attending, because it will affect them. If at a later date we can come and make a presentation, we'd appreciate it. Thank you.
Oh, just a moment, please. Commissioners present, McKay, Romero, Scott, and Terrell, we have a quorum of four. Four. Absent is Commissioner Palin and Commissioner Edwards, the chair.
Okay, anybody else?
Hello, good evening. I'm Tom Johnson from the architecture firm of Martinez and Johnson Architecture. We met with the committee on the ANC committees recently, and we wanted to come tonight and show you an update and some response to some of the comments that were made at that gathering.
I'm sorry, which ANC committee? You use
it was.
Sorry, which ANC committee?
It was the informal informal ANC group about 2 weeks ago.
Oh, okay, right, all right.
You remember?
Yeah, the informal meeting. When you said committee, I was going to say, what committee? Okay, yeah, no, thanks.
Shall we do it now?
It's
okay with
me.
It's fine.
Flash drive, but I think just a couple of issues we'd like to make, we could sort of walk through it. They weren't very in order. I wasn't going to introduce the project and walk through it all with you unless you would like me to, that we talked about last time.
The same project we talked about
last
time?
Yes.
Okay, let's remember that we have to be recognized by the co-chair. Chair is absent before we speak. But I, for one, was not at the informal meeting, and if it's all right with the other commissioners, I would like for you to do the whole thing, please.
Okay, I'd be delighted to. In that case, can I give you the flash drive? That might be the easiest way to cover some of the material. Thank you. Once again, I'm Tom Johnson with Martinez & Johnson. I'm joined by my colleague Ellen Delaney. Our clients, Bizzuto Holmes, are represented here. And Chip Glasgow of the legal firm of Holland & Knight is also here. And I'll just introduce the project, which is the Meridian Hill Baptist Church Adaptive Reuse, just on 16th Street on the other side of the block. And this is where it's located. We're about right here now. Just trying to locate it within the neighborhood. I think everyone here knows where it is. And these are some views that were taken relatively recently, walking down Mount Pleasant Street, as well as walking across. On this view, as we've been talking to the Historic Preservation Office for the better part of 2 or 3 years now, and we sort of have understood that the views from Lamont and 16 from the sort of northeast corner being the main view for making a lot of... Making a lot of the design decisions, and that's where a lot of our views are based. Yeah, go ahead, Stephen. These are more views of the project. Actually, I'm sorry, if you go back one view, one slide... There we go. This view is the view that we're worked with Tim Dene on the most, and it's important that there's an open space between the church and its adjacent buildings. We're looking at preserving that, and the height of this building is one of the main determining factors. And everyone remembers the fire. And these are some views for those who haven't been in the church, in the sanctuary, since the fire and the current condition. The building was built, as you may know, starting in two parts. So a Methodist church. This part was built in 1916. This part was built about 10 years later. We are proposing to remove this part of the church. And as I believe Chip is going to talk about, this part of the building is about 3 feet off of the property line currently, the back of the church. And we are looking to build an addition that's not nearly that far back. This shows the gap between the north face and the apartment building to the north. To get some accuracy, we laser scanned the building. We have, very accurate drawings. They're about a tenth of an inch over 100 feet level of accuracy. And that's what we've based a lot of our drawings on. And these are the sightline studies, starting to show the addition. And this is 16th Street. This is the Deauville. This is Mount Pleasant. And we're looking at what one would see depending upon how far one got away from the church. But the idea is that we're trying to minimize the impact of this part of the building. This is sort of what you see when you get even further away. This is the basic floor plan, and I won't go through all the floor plans, I promise. But what you see in black is the part of the church that we're retaining, which are the limestone walls, the old part of the sanctuary. And we're basically wrapping building on these sides. We're coming. We're maintaining the separation at the north side, and we have a court. We have a court here, and we have a court here between the new construction and the existing construction. This shows the scheme that we presented a few weeks ago, where we've gone right up to the property line with our parking. And then once we get above grade, we would be setting the building back.
What are you going to do with the old portions of the church?
The old portions?
What you said, behind the facade? Those.
The piece that's right here?
The piece that you are preserving of the church itself.
Well, it's a very rigorous preservation strategy for the exterior of the building.
But I mean the interior. What are you doing with the interior?
We are maintaining, maybe if we can go up one floor. There's a part of the building, this part of the building goes all the way up to the roof. We're trying to express some of the three-dimensional quality of the former sanctuary, but the limestone church would be filled with multifamily residential units as well, and that they would benefit from these fairly large windows along the outside. That answers your question, right? Yeah, okay. As we get up in the building, this is the basic floor plate that we would see. That there's, again, some volume recognized in the old sanctuary, which one would still get in the building by going up the monumental stairs, and that this part that's in blue, there's a light blue line, that's the new addition. It's set back about 15 feet from the property line, which is 12 feet further back than the building is currently disposed. Just more views as we go up through the building, more floor plans. We are even using the roof. We're rebuilding the roof of the church as it was and incorporating some multifamily, some apartment units in that as well. Now this, I'm sorry, this is just another view. I need to put my glasses on, I think. Is this the current scheme? This, what we're seeing right here, is the profile adjacent building to the north that we would we start to see some of that even behind. This is the gap, the 15 feet. Now we are having stacked parking in the garage, which sort of goes up to this level. And this had been the problem when we had talked to you all before, that our parking, at least at this first floor, we felt like it had to go to the property line. And that was part of the nature of the discussion. And we found a way to move it off of the property line about 6 feet. And so if there's 6 feet here, and then there's some space on the other side. This is the profile of the Deauville. That's something we feel we can do for the scheme. We lose parking spaces. We lose about 9 parking spaces, but we're going to continue to look for other ways to recapture them as we continue the design. So that there's the 6 foot gap.
You will need a variance for this, will you not?
We will. We will need a variance, a rear yard variance, and we'll also need. By building this out, we've closed off this sort of shaft of space that went from one property line to the other. So we've basically created a court here, and we've created a court here. And they're non-conforming courts. And did I use the right term, Chip? And so we would be asking for relief for that as well.
And what's the means of access in an automobile to the back of the building, to this garage?
Well, currently, we're not anticipating that there would be automobile access to the back of the building, that the automobiles would go down a ramp to a lower level.
So the cars are coming in the front and going underground?
That is correct.
I see.
And the next section may demonstrate that. Well, here's the parking vault, and again, we had it at the property line, and we've been able to pull it back 6 feet and still be able to have a fair number of cars. This is a section as though one were just cutting right through the building. And this shows the profile, and generally the building is 15 feet back until we get to the upper levels, and it's set back an additional 6 feet. This is a section through the church looking back, and this is the idea of the rear elevation, basically this part of the building that one sees, and this being the access to the underground parking. Here you start to see some of the volumetric nature of the lobby. That we're essentially it's a three-story lobby for that piece of it. That recalls something of the church.
So I have a question. Have you, just inform me as to where we are in the process in terms of your seeking a variance. Have you already applied for the variance, or date that will be considered?
We're looking to file shortly for BCA, but right now we're on the docket for the Historic Preservation Review Board that meets, I guess, in about 9 or 10 days. And we were going to go through that process first, and then we felt like the drawings at that point will have, assuming that it's approved, will have gelled enough to go before BCA.
Okay, and so just so that I understand properly, so a couple of weeks ago at our informal meeting when you presented the parking garage with the car lift went mm-hmm. straight to the property line.
That is correct.
So now you are leaving 6 feet of space between the end of the property line and where the actual physical structure of the building begins.
Yes, which is based on what we thought we heard at that meeting. That was sort of the prescribed amount the prescribed distance that would make it acceptable.
So then a person can, are you doing a public easement or what have you, or any kind of an easement on that 6 feet of space between where the physical structure begins and the end of your property line?
We frankly haven't really considered that. I mean, I think it's part of a larger equation in terms of what happens with that alley. If we're able to build an alley and all this, what we're trying to do is to provide, as we've disposed the density on the site, to be able to allow for the kind of movement that you're suggesting in the future, but we're not necessarily the ones who would determine whether it's an alley or a passageway or a variance. Right now we're showing it that it still is our property, that we're not necessarily giving it up. And what we're actually trying to increase the parking, we're studying bringing the underground portion of the parking actually out to the property line. We just haven't figured out how to do it yet.
Okay. So then, all right, so I appreciate the work that you've done to go back and to reconsider the drawings, in light of everything that you heard from the ANC. Just, I guess, I'm still, looking for information from my fellow commissioners, because I still see a situation where, just like with the library, the space behind the building is completely private property, and it's not space that a fire truck necessarily would use to go behind the building. And so just curious as to what the commissioners think in terms of the consistency between the position that the commission took on the library and there not being space behind the library for a fire truck to fit in this particular building.
Okay, excuse me. We're going to allow them to go ahead and finish presenting because I'm under the impression it's someone else is going to do something as well. And then we can hold our comments until after they're finished, please, and our questions. Let them finish completely.
Okay. Just more views of what the building is looking like in the design development. This is an idea about the rear of the building. This is the north elevation of the building. We're starting to kind of walk our way around the building and develop an attitude about materials and fenestration and how it might work. This is probably the most developed drawing showing the front. And you see the way the tower looks. We really are trying to break down the scale of this overall piece where this front piece that comes out in line with the church and the back piece are treated in a very different way. There's even a notch between them, but suggesting that maybe they're even different buildings. And this has more to do with the verticality that we see in these other buildings along 16th Street. It has a lot of glass. And we're seeing balconies across the front. It's a more solid side. And then this portion of the building, really the reason for having fenestration at all is just their corridors. And it's just letting light into the corridors so that they primarily front onto the rear portion of the site. And these are some studies that start to show that. Here is this glassier piece the idea that this maybe starts to read as its own building. Tim Dene suggested thinking about this almost as the rear of a building on Mount Pleasant Street, but it doesn't go over the church. You know, it's held back from that. Here's a variation that's something a little more regular. This is a little more abstract in its sort of punched window treatment. Here's a view slightly to the south. Here's a view even more to the south in terms of just studying the visual impact from different points of view. Again, this is what it might look like from the back. This is kind of looking at one of the slots where the Deauville had been. We really don't know the nature of that development, but I'm sure the building will be seen at some point in some way, if not from no other view from the Deauville residents themselves. And this is the most developed rendering that we have of it, where we start to kind of look at the view. This is sort of a panelized metal and glass system that we think contrasts with the church, you know, that there's no ambiguity about this, that the church maintains its own presence, but that the building is gridded in a way, built in a way of pieces that recall kind of the residential scale of other buildings up and down 16th Street. Again, there's the variant. And is that it? And that's kind of where we were today. We mostly just wanted to, for those who hadn't seen it, we wanted to kind of share our thinking, and then we did want to show that we've been able to address certainly some of your concerns.
And I'm Chip Glasgow with the law firm of Holland & Knight to talk briefly about the zoning relief, and also to respond, I just talked with the representative of the applicant. We don't have any objection to having an easement for emergency ingress and egress over that 6-foot setback that we have. We think that the fire department needs it, and there's something going on out there. They're going to use it anyway, and we may as well have that legitimized, but we also would want that in the context of others providing a like setback on their property so that you do have your 12 feet. Man, I don't think all of that burden should fall on one property owner. It should be shared, if that's what that is. And we've done that many times. I just had an alley closing hearing a couple of weeks ago. And what we did is the alley was only 10 feet wide in one area. And they wanted an additional width. And we provided half of it, and the property owner on the other side, when they go in for their permits, would provide additional space. In that case, it was 5 feet, and he said, we'll provide 6 feet. Then also with respect to the areas of relief for Board of Zoning Adjustment, because I've had many cases over the years where we've had a historic building and there is an area where you cannot develop on the site because of the historic resource. So you have to build on those portions of the lot that are vacant, wherever they are. And it is very rare that when you have that situation where you don't need a variance to provide a building addition on the site, just because the prominent part of the site is going to be taken up by the historic resource. Anybody that's building the building back in the 1920s, whenever this built, you'd use the prime part of your lot to build on, and then what would be left is sort of it's the leftovers. That's what you would get, and that's what we have here. And so when we do that, we technically have a court between the new building on this side and the historic resource. We also had an area on the north side that used to be a non-conforming side yard, but when the building addition goes back in the rear, it converts that into a court, which is non-conforming. The rear yard, we are going to greatly increase the amount of rear yard that's provided, but it still will not meet the regulations. You end up with a building back here. Can we have a site plan? A site plan, if we can see it in the plan. Okay. That one will work. Yeah, that one will work. Because we'll be setting back above an area. The existing building comes, this is the 6-foot setback. So the existing building comes back to about within 3 feet of the property line. We're going to be set back about 15 feet total, which is about here.
Should go to the next slide. That'll probably be
There you go. Because you see property line, and then you see our setback and what it was before the existing building was right in this area. So there will be significantly more setback than it was, but we're still not in compliance. What technically ends up happening, even though when you tear that part of the building away, even though we are bringing the property more into compliance, if it doesn't go all the way in compliance, you still need to have the variance relief. So we have that, and then the final area of relief. If we could go back to a section, and this will be a little bit counterintuitive, but the regulations provide that wall in the back, if we were to leave that wall almost open, we would not need to have any relief with respect to that not being included in FAR in a residential zone. Because we want to make it more opaque and close it up more, you would need relief from the Board of Zoning Adjustment. So, and we think that the community would rather have us have that area where their parking is more closed in rather than more open, where you would look in and see the cars. It goes back to 1958, and it's just a whole different way of looking at above-grade parking for residential buildings. And so we probably will ask for that. If there's a lot of issue with respect to that, we have had a meeting with the Office of Planning. I think they didn't even understand that the regs at first operated in that fashion. I've been through it a few times, so I was aware of that issue. So that if we left it open, we wouldn't have a problem. Because we think it's better for everybody to close it in for security, lighting, all of that type of thing, then we would be asking for the relief. It has to be more than 50% enclosed columns, those type of things. And those are the areas of the zoning relief, because we know in the last presentation that we had, we didn't have a chance to really go through, or didn't take the time to really go through and explain what we were doing from the zoning part of it so that everybody could understand the relief that's necessary in order to develop this project and bring the historic resource back into use.
Okay. Your couple of minutes to your 10 extra minutes that I gave you. Is the commission satisfied, or do you need to hear more? I guess since nobody's saying anything, that we're satisfied with your presentation. Our procedures that we'll have to put together a formal resolution and address it. Is that not correct, Jack? Or do we have one already?
Let me point out that it's way premature for a zoning adjustment resolution. That's months down the road.
Right.
They have the historic preservation coming up, but I personally don't have a position on that.
So we have time for that, you're saying?
If we wish to. A question. How does Historic Mount Pleasant feel about this? Last I talked to them, they seem to be pretty happy with it.
Yes. Faith was here last month or a couple of weeks ago and spoke in support of the application from the Historic Preservation Review Board standpoint. So we certainly would like to have something on that.
My position would be to basically let Historic Mount Pleasant call the shots on this one.
Jason?
Yeah, couple of questions.
This is yours, Jack.
Number one, the last meeting, my name is Jasmine Romero Castillo, I'm Commissioner 1D01, also on the President 3145 Mount Pleasant Street and an association, the building behind for this project. The last time we asked for something about, we're looking for space or for access for fire department's truck, because we have too many fire in the building. You know, the people's die or something like that. We don't look for little space, because if we don't support the library because we're looking for a space, you are in the same problem. You know, we need you give to us a resolution for that, because the last time, you know, the people from the library say, yeah, we have a space for the, you know, there's somebody walking. We don't need that. You know the one fire, how do you say bombero?
Fireman.
The firemen walking behind to the building, and the you know the fire, and the, there is the, some building burning. One guy, he can do anything. We need a space and access for trucks, because there is too many people, you know, come back. We come back to the building, and other people that is in the building. If we need, you know, no, we don't want no more people die for the fires problems. If I don't see, I mean, I don't see the nothing about, only put the more space and that's it. But I don't see nothing about, you say something about the fire department, permit. No, we need the access. But we need to save more lives. Because because the buildings, you're supposed to make the new building. We do, but we buy the building. We have the owner to the building. We start to rebuild next December. And we give the space for all property for the fire department truck. But only the bill can do it. You know, you are the neighbor. The library is the neighbor. We need working together.
That's what we thought we were doing. We thought the discussion last week was that we would sit back 6 feet. Others would sit back 6 feet. You would have 12 feet between them. That's what we heard. Now, that may not have been... Maybe we heard it wrong, but that's what we heard that we should do, and that's why we picked that. That was not an arbitrary choice on our part. We heard setback 6 feet, so we did. We worked out how to do that. And we certainly weren't intending that we be the only ones that set back, that others would set back also.
And another question is, sorry, but I'm not sure I passed the resolution today. You don't convince me. Another thing is the parking. This is public parking or only for?
Well, this is going to be a private apartment building. So just like almost any private apartment building in the city, it would have it has its own parking garage.
What is the benefit the community? I mean, this provide any benefit for Mount Pleasant community? It's only for, you know, some people buy the space, make condos and take the money, put in the pocket. There is something good for the community in Mount Pleasant, because I'm here for 16 years. I'm leadership in my community. We working hard for take, you know, the community, you know, the unit and community. But we want to know, is any people come here where you provide to the community? It's not only commercial. But I don't see, example, I don't see any community center, community space, you know, like at the library say, no, it's okay, we work for the community, we make, you know, the one space for 100 people, take the meeting. Nobody wanna go in to take the meeting there. We need the space for the fire department's truck. You know, this is what we wanna know, because I'm the president of an association, yes, but I represent a lot of people. If we ask to the people what happened or what do you think about this project, and the people say, what is, you know, what is the benefit they provide to the community?
Well, I think that comes from at least the process that we have with respect to differences when you apply for applications to the Zoning Commission or the Board of Zoning Adjustment. With the Zoning Commission, when you ask for a planned unit development, there's a community and benefits, amenities benefits package that the Zoning Commission weighs as to what it is that you're asking for, what it is that you get, and you get height and FAR incentives when you go through the planned unit development process. This is not a planned unit development. This is with respect to height, FAR, which is the development that you can put on the site, this is all a matter of right. Now, because of the historic building, we are putting part of the project to the rear, because that's the only place where we can develop it. But I think that community amenities, and there are a number of precedents, because I have been through some cases where there's a request for communities benefits and amenities package, and the Board of Zoning Adjustment has stated on several occasions that's not the burden of proof that we have on that type of case, because we're not asking for development incentives, additional FAR, additional height, and those type of things.
And the last question is, We told you something. We need the, you know, the space for fire department. But the difference in your building is, do you have, or you try to take the, you know, space, like maybe, you know, the a lot of buildings has, how do you say China, the space next to the building? Yeah, but you know, the people put the, you know, like you see next to the Bank of America or building, we have a space. Do you have in your project some access to 16th Street to, behind to the building? Example, there is somebody that's burning emergency, you can open some doors and the truck can come in and the behind. But we don't told you something about the space for the truck. You know, some building provide the access, you know, for the fire department can come from this way, for the, you know, for the library, for my building. But it's not only the fire department truck can stay there. How the fire department can go this way?
We can't.
It's not the only question.
Okay, well, we only have control over our site. We can't control getting out to other streets, if that's the question. I'm not sure I understand the question.
He is stating, China, that they are.
Sorry.
Jasmine, that they are putting the space back there. They're doing their part, but the other folks, as far as the library, he's saying they need to do their part as well. They have actually gone back and redone their plans to give more space back there. So they're allowing it, but they can't do anything about the library, you know, the people there. And Commissioner McKay or Commissioner Terrell, do you have comments? Because we really need to move on from this subject.
No?
Well, we thank you for your presentation, and I have to give you credit. You are listening to what is coming out from the community, and you're going back and trying to appease the community. And I thank you so very much for that.
Okay, we appreciate the time.
Okay. Somebody else wish to speak tonight? There's a lot of people.
Oh, everybody
Steve?
Was for one thing.
Now
this
Steve
is
going to
be a quick meeting.
It appears to me that from the plans that what used to be the parking lot is now being filled in by a high-rise structure. What used to be the parking lot between the Sarban Towers and the Meridian Hill Church. It was an open parking lot, yeah, with a ramp along the side. That's being taken out. And I think what Commissioner Romero was saying, there's no longer, is there any passageway from 16th Street back to behind those buildings to run? Or is it completely filled in there? No, I'm just asking. Yeah, okay. And both buildings, the renovated church and the high-rise structure, all will be condos or residential?
Correct.
Okay. Yes, that is correct. And how do you get one of those laser scans of the building?
Okay. Can we get back to our meeting now?
Yeah.
Let me suggest that we let our interpreter go home. We clearly have no need for him this evening.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I need interpretation, but I don't see anything. You can go home. Thank you.
Yeah,
this is the reason I take this. But sometimes you're not confused, but you're not working.
Oh, was it work?
Whoa. Let's somebody explain to me what this was about. Was it not working? Was the equipment not working? Was the equipment not working? Yes, there's just simply no need for it, right?
No, Jasmine wanted it.
Use the microphone.
But
the microphone
was not interpreting.
Use the microphone. Okay, please, come on.
No, Jasmine was saying she actually wanted the interpretation, but our interpreter was not interpreting.
Oh, well, that's a different matter. I mean,
sí, pero no podía
entender
cuando el AM dijiste más temprano.
No. I mean, you want it?
No, it's okay.
Well, no, we've got him. We're paying for him. If you want it, you've got it. Please, let's use it.
Jack, I think Yasmin is saying that it was more important when the guests were here.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I didn't understand that.
No. It's misunderstood. This is the point. When somebody's coming, the working with the interpreter, always the people, you know, told to, supposed to, you told to anything, because sometimes my husband confused. Sometimes, you know. But they're next to the people. This is the reason we have this, but it's like this. Yeah, wait, but sometimes, you know, I'm confused. Sometimes when I need both, I'm confused because the people speak very fast sometimes, you know. Yeah, this is the reason I take this. Yeah.
China?
Use the microphone.
I couldn't understand because Yasmin was whispering this to me, but I could not hear what she was saying.
Right. Like I could not either. I could not make. I'm sorry. I can't understand you.
I know, but you are busy.
But by all means, if you want the interpreter, he's here. We're paying for him. Let's use it. That's right.
No, it's for everybody. It's for her too. We want her to understand.
Y para mí también porque necesito aprender español.
Well, we all offer you our apologies. It won't happen again. We know we have to remember that you need translation too.
Me too.
Yeah, so we're going to move on with the... Yeah. Okay. So we're going to move on with our meeting. And we're at the chair's report. And the chair is absent, and I'm the co-chair.
You are vice chair.
And the only thing that I have to report is that this is a meeting that's going to be short tonight.
Oh, you bet.
So we to the secretary's treasurer's report.
I'm proposed to go and join the dinner. This is the first time we have only four people and finish early.
Yeah, this will be very short. May I proceed with the secretary's report?
Yes.
Okay, the minutes. Minutes of the June 21 meeting, the minutes of the July 5 meeting, and the minutes of the July 13 meeting. Are there any corrections to any of those?
Nope.
Then, thank you very much. I tell you, we're having too many meetings.
Yes.
We're having too many meetings. On the Pupusari of San Miguel, Public Space Committee is very cooperative. They want a letter from us requesting that the Pupusería be put on the consent agenda. Right. That's excellent. So all I want is permission from the commission to write that letter. Any?
All those in favor? Unanimous.
Thank you. Now, on the matter of the interpreter, I agree to revive an arrangement we had in previous years with MCS. OLA has been paying for this, but OLA stopped paying for it. And Greg reports that OLA claims that it's illegal for them to pay for it. I don't know. But I felt it was very important that we provide this interpreter. So I arranged with MCS to provide an interpreter for this evening, which is covered by the existing budget, because their existing budget has a $1,200 allocation for interpreting. So I don't think I need specific permission tonight, though I would appreciate. Is there any issue about having the interpreter this evening for $200?
No.
China, you're looking awfully worried.
No, I'm just curious as to what Yasmin would be thinking.
For me, it's really, really, for me, it's too expensive, $200. It's every month, because sometimes, you know, the people don't come in, the people speak Spanish, people don't come in. No. For me, you know, if we can take, you know, the less $200, because we need money for another thing, you know. If for me, it's pay $200 for somebody is only sit and say, but they don't have anybody, they any like now, you know, $200 for me is too much money. Every month?
Well, is this not $100 per meeting?
It was $100 per meeting, but the price I was offered today was $200 a meeting. So we have to agree what we're going to do in the future. And if Jasmine can come up with something for less than that, fine.
Yeah, so this is, I said, because we need, you know, keep the money. Example, sometimes when we was in the office with the ANC, they say the ANC provide the pay to the commissioner for business card for something. We don't look for that. We need to save the money, but for me, it's too much, $200. You know?
Well,
but
the
informal meeting, can I finish? Chair, sorry. But we don't need interpreter informal meeting. You know? Sometimes we need the interpreter sometimes with a lot of people coming, you know, Spanish people coming, is now to every meeting. For me, I think when we have some meeting when there is, you know, the Latin people coming, but we know how is the agenda, we can call the interpreter. It's not for every meeting. I mean, this is my point.
Okay. Well, I don't agree for $200 a meeting. I'm not good with that either. I thought the $200 when it said per month, I thought that meant for both meetings. So I guess we're not
okay,
going to address this further, I guess.
Well, I will pay them for this evening because I promised them that, and as I say, it's covered by our budget. Okay. But I think we have to take up how we're going to resolve this interpreter issue because it's mandatory that we have someone here.
Yeah.
Just in case it's needed.
Yes. Another thing is, Ola never pay. Ola take, you know, the volunteers people come for the interpreter. They never pay for interpreter.
I hear what everyone's saying. I think it's important to have an interpreter at every meeting just because then it shows consistency and people know that they can always just walk in the door and they'll have an opportunity to understand or what have you. So I feel like it makes our meetings more accessible when people can rely on the fact that an interpreter will be present. And so if $200 per night is too expensive, and I don't know, because it's 2 hours, for example, I know for sign language interpreting, that's about right. But this isn't sign language, it's Spanish. So, for example, if someone wants to be in charge then of figuring out an alternative potentially that's less expensive, then I'm willing to support that in here. But I still think that it needs to be quality interpretation from someone who's experienced and who knows how to simultaneously translate. But without that, then I'm fine with the cost.
Jack?
Yeah. Multicultural Community Services is the local organization that provides interpreters for community organizations like this. It's not an expensive operation. Ordinarily, they would provide two people for a two-hour session, and it would be $400. So they're really doing us a reasonable favor at this time. And I would rather pay the $200 and have someone who has had some training in simultaneous interpretation than try to save a few dollars and get someone who might not be as good. Because simultaneous interpretation is hard, really hard.
Okay. So is this your culmination of your secretary's report?
Well, yeah. And if I go on to the
treasurer's report.
I mean, if we don't have, like it was the case, I didn't just usually forget, it will probably, I don't have to talk to Rosa, but probably it will just
Who's Rosa?
For 1 hour. She's the director of MCS, the Interpreters Community, Multicultural Community Service. So I think I will check with her if there's a way that maybe we can get some fees. Like I was just saying, like in this case, we didn't have anybody that came to the meeting that needed the interpretation. I will just invoice probably for 1 hour, but I don't know what's the policy of NCS, and I will talk to its director to see and express these concerns.
Yeah.
Too.
Thank you. Thank you. I was told to something about it. That's fine, because do you remember Julian when the Hades casting she provided? He called me, please talk to the ANC commissioner, send me to me the email and tell me the date, but I provide free. But this is the, he's working interpreter national, you know. They use Mayor Gray, anybody use him. He said he wanna provide the interpreter free. You know, and that we need to send the letter, you know, formal letter to him and give it the date. Only he said, please send it to me the date.
Well, can you give his contact information to Jack and let Jack take care of that?
Yes, I have the contact information, okay?
Okay. So we're moving on to the treasurer's report. Oh, I'm sorry. Any objections to accepting the secretary's report? No objections?
Okay. I have a check for $100 to Tony Grillo, which Stormy has already signed, I believe. That's just for the postering. And I will scratch the one for radio CPR because we're going to do that quarterly. And it would be only $50 because she didn't show up this evening. This is getting a little frustrating when I count on somebody to show up and they don't show up. So it would be $50 to radio CPR.
Yeah. When the people provide the service, it's okay. I like paid. When they don't provide, not.
Well, it's, the important thing is that they show up when they are promised to show up. The financial report, the quarterly financial report, is due. Has anyone got any questions about that?
No.
What can I say? We started
very
off
good
with
records.
I'm sorry?
You keep very good records.
We started off with $60,000. Got $11,000 from the district. Brought us up to $71,000. And we spent only that much, but $509 total in the quarter.
Wow.
So we're, our end of the quarter balance is over $70,000. That's how much money we have in the bank.
Questions? No questions?
Only I have the question, something about the ANCs. You know, what is the name of the guy, the ANC office in Wilson Building?
No comprendo.
Simon. Simon.
They,
Gottlieb.
They told us if the ANC commissioner has something, problem or something. You know, the old commissioner, we need made the business card. And the ANC pay, but my question is, you pay or we give the receipt to him?
Everything comes through me.
Everything
comes through me.
Okay, but this is, he told you, and the old people wasn't there, because I make my business card if I want to know, but if the ANC provide, we can make the business card to anybody, you know? I'm sorry for the commercial, but you know, Carlos, the guy working with Haiti with us, they give a 1,000 business card for $70. Yeah, your car's coming this week. Sorry, but I was in California.
Thank
if you want, give me the information he made the, to you, but this is Simon said, provide the...
Yeah, just turn the receipt into Jack.
And there has to be...
this is my question. Is for him or we need to go into...
Everything goes through Jack.
Okay,
Jack.
But I can make you a business card too, Jack?
There has to be an ANC resolution authorizing the expenditure.
This is my motion now.
No, you gotta do a
resolution. I second it.
You have to present the resolution for it to be done formally, but I don't see that being a problem.
Well, but one thing at a time. Is my financial quarterly report accepted?
Yes.
Approved by the commission?
Yes. Yes.
Yep.
Okay.
About how
thank you.
So wait, now are you ready for the motion?
Excuse me? We got order here, ladies. Just wait a minute.
Any ideas for the topic for our August 2nd informal meeting?
Yes. So last summer, the ANC actually took a break during August, and the ANC actually canceled one of the meetings. I think that the ANC held one meeting in August only because DC Fiesta had not really had its act together and needed to come back and present some things that we needed to approve before September. And so I would propose that we decide which meeting we won't have in August again. I'm concerned that we haven't heard anything back from DC Fiesta, and September is quickly approaching, so I'm sure we should probably keep that in mind. But in any event, if we don't need either one of the meetings in August, then I propose that we take a recess for the entire month of August. The other ANC commissions do it, the council does it, the State Board of Education does it. All elected bodies take a recess for at least 1 month in the summer, and I recommend that we do the same.
Yeah. Jason?
The last meeting, the last informal meeting, that we had something for Fiesta DC, you know, the commissioner say, let these people, when there is some, suppose we pass the resolution for the one meeting for Fiesta DC, but we can do it. This is the reason the people don't come. But we say, okay, we have the meeting special for you. We never let these people, they don't come, but they wait. They wait.
Okay. So, do we want to make a decision on whether or not we're going to have both meetings or just having the one meeting? For the record, I would like to state that for the August 2nd informal meeting, I would not be here if we're having that meeting.
Just a point of information, really, and I think that Jack probably has the answer, but I want to just make sure, because I feel like this ties into which meeting we have, but did you understand what Yasmin said? So, for example, it was true what Yasmin said, that at one of our informal meetings, we told Fiesta DC that we would use the same resolution that we had last year, and I remember that Greg presented that, and I thought that we voted on it. So were we essentially done then with Fiesta DC through September? Have we given them everything that they need to move forward in September since we passed last year's resolution, which included asking them to comply with all of the concerns that really I think the Mount Pleasant Neighborhood Alliance had helped put together and so forth? So are we done with Fiesta DC then?
Unless they have some complaints about. So here, there's our Fiesta DC resolution.
Right, we passed it already.
Yes, that's correct.
So we're good. So then we're ahead of the curve. It's just a matter of continuing to work with them behind the scenes, really, to make sure that everything is okay. So if this is the case and Fiesta DC doesn't need to come back, then I would propose that we take August as a recess. Okay, Jack.
Yeah, I will certainly agree with not having the informal meeting. I think we should keep the business meeting open if something comes up.
Okay. That's fine. That's fair. And just for the record, I won't be here at the business meeting on August the 16th because I actually have an exam the next morning, so I just need to be focused.
Okay. All right. So we're in agreement that we leave on August the 16th business meeting date open in the event that something comes up, and we're dismissing with August 2nd informal meeting.
But point of information, what does it mean to leave it open? Does that mean we don't need to show up, and that if, for example, something comes up, then we will show up? So does this mean, or do we all
that
have to show up?
That means if something comes up and we need to meet, then the secretary will email us and let us know that we need to be here.
Exactly, okay. Exactly.
All right, with that decision, then we're on to unfinished business, and we have none. And we're at new business.
Yeah. The only item on the on my list is this matter of the latest permutation of the plans for the Kenyon Street intersection with Addis Miller Road and the Harbor Street intersection with Addis Miller Road.
Okay. I thought we approved that last meeting.
We have approved it at various stages, and a new set of drawings just arrived with an implication that we should okay it.
The green pack thing?
Right there. That just arrived last week.
Okay.
No, it's the 90% drawings, and they're putting out for bids. So this, the train has left the station, which is fine, which is marvelous. And I did want to point out to you one thing which I had missed. See up there?
Yeah.
That's your driveway?
Uh-huh.
That's the bus stop.
Right. I've already talked to him. I talked to him. He called me back personally. That's why I'm like, why is this on here? I'm so happy.
Okay. We're cool. We're cool.
Yes, we are. I am so happy.
So we can approve these plans and say go forward.
Yes.
I think this is just going to be a marvelous development. Resolve A and C when D approve the plan for Kenyon, Asmill, and Harvard and Asmill intersections and advises the District Department of Transportation to proceed with this project as soon as possible.
Second, we have a discussion. Jasmine?
No, sorry. I'm good.
Any discussion? No discussion. All those in favor?
Yeah.
Unanimous. Yeah. Hallelujah.
Now I will move.
We have depending another business.
Oh. Yes.
Yes.
Well, wait a minute.
The bus stop in Mount Pleasant Street, do you remember? You say the next meeting, this is like 1 year ago, we continue.
Okay, but wait a minute, I tried to say,
do you remember we have something pending too?
Okay, we did have that pending, but don't we need to address this one here, that's Greg's resolution? We don't? Okay. So what is the situation? Do you have that, Jack? Where are we with that? Because I can't remember.
Yeah, do you remember when we tried to move the
Oh, I know what you're talking about. I'm just saying I don't remember.
For the Lorison. This is the point. Lorison, when I tried to move the bus stop to the one corner, next corner. Mm-hmm. But this normally is the bus stop is in front to another bus stop.
Okay, I got you.
Phil Lepanto, no, she's not here anymore.
I do remember that we were tabling that.
Yes, and I was bringing that along again and again.
February, because we are the commissioner when we have the.
I don't think it's going to be here.
Do you know, Jack, off the top of your head where?
Well, the
Hades situation.
Yeah, the situation is that moving the bus stop is going to be really, really hard. So we really kind of backed away from that and said, okay, instead of moving the bus stop, we will append the loading zone to the existing bus stop. And that's what this was all about, was the loading zone. And that was the way to get a loading zone, was to put it there, add it to the bus stop, instead of trying to move the bus stop. Because moving the bus stop was going to be really hard.
Yeah, but the commissioner, some commissioners say we can move. She's looking only for loading zone. She never say move the bus stop.
Yeah, she just wants the loading zone.
Yeah, she wants the loading zone.
Right.
I remember when I say the loading zone, there is, you know, next to the bus stop, the H2,
mm-hmm.
you know, and the Irving Street. This is the heavy one. This is when I try to move the loading zone from Irving Street to Mount Pleasant Street because block 30,000 and block 31,000 don't have loading zone. Only the 7-Eleven. Only the Best Way supermarket, if we walk into block 32, there is 4 or 5 loading zones. This is the reason we try to do, because 2 blocks don't have, and 1 block has too many, I mean, it's not.
Yeah, so I'm in agreement with the fact that I know the bus stop would be very hard to move, but I didn't think it would be so hard to work the loading zone in there. I'm sorry. Well, yeah, that's what I thought. That's why I'm trying to understand. Didn't we do, Jack?
I mean, that's done.
Okay.
We passed the resolution supporting the loading zone. Now, the way this works, the way the system really works, you pass a resolution and you have to follow up. You have to go to the bureaucrats and talk to them about it. You have to go to the politicians and talk about it, because they will set it aside and ignore it unless you keep the pressure on them. And it is up to us as individual commissioners to do that. The commission has done its job with the resolution. Making the resolution actually come to pass, that's up to the individual commissioner.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I think we need, you know, they take the resolution, forget about the move, the bus stop, because this is another point we told you on 7-Eleven, the loading zone is next to the bus stop. You know? But the always stop with the zone. Commissioner say we can move the bus stop. We don't need that. Only we're looking for loading zone. It's not Haiti's favor. It's loading zone, but she say we need the loading zone. I don't care if it's close to my building or close to another building, but we're looking because, do you remember the loading zone that is before? Was in my building, but the building is burning. We lose the loading zone.
Shana.
I think that what Jack is saying is that we passed the resolution, and so now there isn't anything left for us to do with the meeting. We have to go and meet with people who are in charge. So calling up DDOT and sitting down and meeting with them. And that kind of a thing. So I don't think there's anything for us to do right now here. But yeah, so I think we're good on that. I think that Jack, working with him, then he can connect you to the people at DDOT so that to follow up.
Okay, because I don't want to keep addressing things we've already done resolutions for, Jasmine.
Yes, only, okay, we can help to Jack because Jack working in this resolution for a long time, and we need help to him because this is, we wait for another summer, and we continue in the same, maybe there is another commissioner, and they continue in the same resolution and never working. We can try to help him.
Okay.
Thank you.
So, do we have any further new business?
Yep, the motion on the business card. Yes, we made a motion.
Okay. Can you do...
I just brought up that standing resolution concerning the loading zone. And again, this is done. The commission has done what it can do. And it's up to the individual commissioners. And Jasmine, this really means you, to go talk to DDOT. Gabriela Vega. Sorry, but that's the way you get things done, is by working with people. By the way, I want to offer a special thanks to Barbara Hayden, because she got here early and turned on the air conditioners.
Thank you, Barbara, so much.
Yes. Only the question, how we can work in for that, because I know especially Gabriela Vega, you know, we had the something pool that she say she don't like anything about Hades. But she takes everything personal. But we are the commissioner. Something is not for Hades, it's for the community. We not try to enforce like that. But I don't care if she don't like the Hades business or she tried to give too many problems to Hades. This is the resolution for the community. This is what we want to try to, how we can work in.
And
because I
want
to try to put the complaint. I want to try to complain this lady because, you know. But this is what I want to do, how we can do, because, and the task say move the bus stop. No, forget about the move bus stop. We're looking for loading zone.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you. Is there any further business?
Business card motion.
Okay. Can you do that, Jack, now?
Surely. But we want to funding for business cards?
Yes.
What kind of budget would you think be appropriate for business cards for each commissioner?
Well, I think it's somewhere between 60, 65.
So
was last year.
Suppose we say $75 per commissioner.
Okay, sounds good.
Okay, let me write something real quick.
Yes, if you need information, but you know the guy good. You see my business card, but trust to me. I'm embarrassed when I go, wasn't on there. It, all commissioner, this is my business card. Jasmine Tate, the non-profit organization. What happened with 1DO1? Why you don't make the business card?
Well, nothing happened. You just
nothing happened. They don't provide the money. That's it.
Well, now, look at my problem. I'm like in 5 different organizations. So what am I supposed to do? Get 5 different cards? So my business card is really busy. So I had to break it down, and I just didn't even bother to get one for ANC. But
and it's a good deal, you know, $1,000.
Well, excellent.
I second Yasmin's motion.
Yes. Discussion? No discussion. We just waiting.
No discussion. Is there another commission that they has the free business card too? First time the 1D has business card.
Mm-hmm. Resolve the commission authorizes the commissioners a one-time expenditure of up to $75 for business cards to be reimbursed by the commission.
Second. Oh, I'm sorry. That was your second. Discussion.
Don't worry. 3 seconds.
Discussion. No discussion. All those in favor? Unanimous. I make a motion that we adjourn.
I second it.
ANC 1D adjourns at 8:28 p.m. on July 19, 2011.
Thank you. The first time you come early in the formal meeting.